Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And for the second time this week, it actually gives me a tremendous amount of pleasure to welcome Associate Professor, Geneticist and Clinical Researcher at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Professor Colleen Aldous. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
So we've had a lot of feedback from the interview that you and I did yesterday morning. And 2 hours after, as I said to you yesterday, when we discussed this, is that 2 hours after coming off air, News 24 started running an article, which actually they haven't covered ivermectin at all, but they started running an article, and this was the headline: "Ivermectin Not a Treatment for COVID-19, Warns SA Expert." So, you know, I just think that it's very important that we have all the correct information. And that's why I called you up and I said, you know, can we chat again just to address the points made in this article. So yeah, let's talk about it. I mean, did you read the article?
Yes, and I think this kind of public debate is so important for society. It's really good that we get to see people's opinions. And we look for the research and find out exactly what they are getting at and see where there are potential misinterpretations.
Right. So, you know, is what this expert is saying. It is, let me just have a look for his name. His name is Professor Ian San. He's an infectious disease specialist, yes, and CEO of Right to Care. So, he was making some things which I found, some claims that I found very startling. So for example, for the, was it him or was it Professor Eric Duclote from the Division of Clinical Pharmacology, who said that ivermectin can have very, very serious side effects?
No, it wasn't Professor Duclote. Professor Duclote made very sensible recommendations in this letter that I could agree with.
Okay, what were his recommendations?
He was saying we've got to get the research out there. We've got to start doing good analyses. And we are doing that right now. That's what we are busy with.
Yes.
When it comes to the comment on the serious side effects, I've just sent you via WhatsApp so that you can distribute it. We came across an article from 2018 that looked at serious adverse events for ivermectin.
Yes.
What they looked at is the international database that looks at adverse events for all drugs. There are about 125 countries that send all sorts of adverse events for any drug to this database. So the researchers that wrote the paper in 2018, so that's relatively recent, looked at all the data for ivermectin up to the end of 2016. And they found a total of 1,668 reports for adverse events for ivermectin. Now, let's put this into context. Several places have said that there have been over 3 billion doses. So if we think about the average dose regimen is 2 doses, let's be conservative and say we've got 1 billion patients that would have taken ivermectin. And there are 1,668 reports for adverse events. Of those adverse events, the majority of them was itching, headache, and dizziness. When they further analyzed, they found that there were 426 reports for neurological disorders, and of those, 156 were defined as serious. There were 2 deaths. One patient died of asphyxia. And when you report adverse events, you've got to report everything. So if you've got somebody on a trial for a TB drug and they die of a car accident, you've got to report that in adverse events. Their death has to be reported. So sometimes the death is not related, but it has to be reported that way. And the second patient who died was moribund. So when they did an autopsy, they did find ivermectin in the brain. Now, the ivermectin generally does not cross the blood-brain barrier, but in the serious events, they have. And there are reasons for that. There could be other drug-drug interactions. There could be high infections. And there could also be a genetic disorder. I think it's the MDB1 gene. If people have a disorder with an MDB1 gene, they can have a blood-brain porosity for drugs. So I think we've got to see this in perspective. So the SAHPRA letter that came out saying it can cause death is, it's not really true. If we have a look at what he is saying, blindness is being one of the issues. In that report, you'll see that there was one person who reported blindness and they healed after 8 days. So, and that could have been anything else. It could have been psychosomatic. We don't know, but there's no other report. One patient reported blindness and it was reversed. The entire episode was reversed in 8 days.
Unbelievable.
So, liver toxicity, I cannot find any report of liver toxicity. The drug is metabolized in the liver, and one would assume overdosing would affect the liver, but I cannot find in the literature anything on liver toxicity. And I can't remember the third serious event that he was talking about.
Neurological. He said neurological.
Neurological. Well, yeah, I've discussed the neurological event. 156 out of 100 billion potential patients. I would like to repeat the study if I just had more time on aspirin or any of the other commonly accessible drugs that you can buy over the counter. I would still stand by the fact that in general, ivermectin is very safe. The one thing that we must bear in mind, though, is that the kind of patients who did receive this drug were mostly in lower middle income countries in the developing world, and they would not have had access to statins. So if this drug becomes available in the developed world, we must monitor the drug interaction with statins. I think that's important.
Yeah.
And also there is mention of potential drug interactions with ARVs, but I think those would have come through on this study by 2016. I think we'd have seen that.
Yeah. Colleen, that by the way, this study, the serious neurological adverse events after ivermectin, I've actually just tweeted that, and I've tweeted it at High FM. So if you want to access this document, because I really do believe in, you know, sharing all my source documents. Yes. I don't need to tell anybody what to think, but I will share the information that I have found. And you can go and check it out. You can either follow me on Twitter or at High FM, because I do tweet it at High FM. So thank you so much for sending that. Okay, so where are we at? I mean, have you spoken to government? Has government been receptive to the ivermectin interest group?
I think we're in flux at the moment. I think our letter that was sent out on Sunday has had an impact. There was a meeting held yesterday. I think SAHPRA are going to be open to applications on Section 21. They are going to look at trials. I do believe that we've got enough information that we do not have to have a trial. And let's just think about doing a whole clinical trial. Clinical trials are enormously expensive. And that is why there hasn't yet been a very big trial. Big Pharma are not going to fund this. However, we've had some people say that if we do get a trial going in South Africa, and we're going to try and get one going across the country, we will get the medication supplied for nothing. But there are other costs involved with doing clinical trials, and we need to find the funding.
Well, maybe China can pay it in reparations. Hashtag just saying. You don't have to comment on that, Professor.
So getting the trial done, they're open to it. So we're going to do all the paperwork. We are not going to let up. As scientists, we want to see, is there anything behind the hype? But we also want to see what are the issues. We want this research to happen, but we are seeing enough research coming out that we think that a Section 21 application is more important right now. But we'll be on to that within the next week.
Okay,
I do believe that there's a lot of talk on the ground, and the criticisms of the research are not founded. And there are lots of already published data, and there's a lot on the preprints. And let's face it, we're in a crisis situation. We're in a pandemic. Normal timelines don't count. And people have looked at preprints to make big decisions, and I think it's time to do that again.
Yeah, very interesting. One of our listeners saying, if you think the side effects of ivermectin are serious, check out those of the current batch of vaccines for COVID. I don't want to turn people off vaccinations at all. I do believe that they do more good than they do harm. But
yes.
You know, have you ever read the package insert of Panado?
It's exactly.
The same thing. You know, you want to be neurotic, yeah. Start right there. That's the truth. And I think that because there haven't been so many clinical studies, which, as a lay person, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. We talk about not having a lot of clinical studies on ivermectin, and yet the World Health Organization has it listed as an essential medicine.
Yes.
How is that possible? Why would the World Health Organization have done that if it was such a dangerous medicine?
Exactly.
There's a lot of things that don't make sense for me. And
yeah.
When it doesn't, then I need to pursue it and find out why.
Yeah, just to put it into context, all the research on ivermectin has been done for parasite diseases. And that's why it got the Nobel Award for Medicine and Physiology in 2015. What people are moaning about now is that they haven't done the trials for COVID. That's what they're bleating about. And it's valid. I mean,
we
really want to know if we're going to give this drug to patients, is it going to work?
Yeah.
But like I said, no big pharma is going to back a big trial like they did with the other drugs that companies can still make some money out of. So what has happened is people across the globe have been doing their own small scale trials, publishing their small studies, which means that yes, they are underpowered. But the meta-analysis is when you take all of those and put them together, that's when you start looking at some really good data.
Yeah.
And Dr. Hill's meta-analysis so far is very convincing. And I doubt that we're going to see any other studies coming through that are going to change the current state of his work. And his work is not published. That's another thing that came out in the News 24 article, because it's a living review. He's reviewed 11 studies so far. He's waiting for the others. When he's got to 3,000 participants, and there are a couple of big studies coming through soon. I think Brazil's clinical trial is coming through soon, where they're going to be a large number of participants. Then he will publish. It will go out. But to say that it's underpowered and poor, I think when people say that the research is poor, there might be a bit of academic snobbism going on. Is it poor because the research is coming from the developing world? And I know why it's coming from the developing world, because it's in the developing world where the drug has been available to be used for their trials. It hasn't been available for use in COVID in many other countries.
Yeah. All right, Colleen, that is where we are going to leave it. Thank you so much. And thank you for speaking to me this week, and for certainly helping to school the school. So I wish you a wonderful weekend, and we'll keep an eye.
Thank you.
We'll keep the conversation going, and certainly keep an eye on what's happening with ivermectin and any other, proposed cures and anything that can help. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. That's Professor Colleen Aldous. She is Associate Professor, Geneticist and Clinical Researcher at the University of KwaZulu-Natal.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.